Good afternoon to all my Tuolumne Community Baptist Church members and listeners. It's been a long time since you've heard my voice, and I am so, so sorry. I didn't expect to have a heart attack. I did not even consider myself a candidate, and I'll explain why. God has been so good to me. But before we get into talking about me, let me read some scripture to you. I'm reading today in Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. He has blessed me. Back on May 7th, which is the last time that you heard a podcast from me, I was teaching out of the book of Galatians chapter 1. We were just starting. I believe I did the introduction to the book. And it felt good. I was excited to be in the book of Galatians because it's one of my favorite places to be in the Word of God. Galatians is one of my favorite books. And I didn't know that I was having an issue. I was having a problem. Although, maybe that's not necessarily the truth. I had some indication, enough signs that I wasn't feeling well that caused me to contact my cardiologist because of COVID. I hadn't seen him in about 3 years or so. And after my open heart surgery in 2014, I was scheduled every year to go in and have my heart checked and make sure everything was working fine. And over those couple of years of COVID, you know, I did not go. Not happy with myself about that, but I really didn't think that I would ever have to go through open heart surgery for the second time. Back in 2014, I didn't have a heart attack then. I went to the cardiologist. I was getting a full physical. At that time, I worked for Tuolumne County Probation and had full insurance, and I thought, why not? Let's get checked up. I'm getting older. They found that my heart murmur had created a problem with my aortic valve, and that it was either going to get, is what they're telling me, it's either going to get stuck open or it's going to get stuck closed, and that'll be it. So he convinced me to go ahead and have heart surgery. This is back in 2014, just after Joe and I had been married only about a month. And so I went through, at that time they didn't have the technology where they do now. They can actually do it vascularly, going through the vein in your leg up to your heart and do it without cracking your chest open. But this was just prior to that technology, so I got the full work. And they told me at that time, Dr. Concepcion, an awesome doctor, he said that he really liked working on a healthy heart, that because I didn't have a heart attack, there was no heart damage. He was just going in and replacing the valve. And at that time, they told me that I was only had about 25% of blockage, you know, due to cholesterol and other things, and it wasn't bad enough to do any stents or any other further work on the heart. Well, let's fast forward 8 years. Now, did I not take care of myself as appropriately as I should have? Probably. Did I stop taking my cholesterol medicine sometime during COVID? Yes, I did. Again, my fault. But did I ever imagine that I was clogging my arteries to the point where I was, at this point, 95% clogged, according to the doctors? So on May 7th, which was the last time you heard my voice, the last time that I was able to preach the gospel, I did that Sunday service on the 7th, and I came home very comfortable with, I was happy with how the church service went. I'm so blessed to have this little church that we have. Such awesome, awesome people. And so I came home to relax Sunday afternoon. My wife scurried off to bed, which is her common thing to do, her Sunday afternoon nap, and I chose my recliner, which is where I go. And once I sat in my recliner, it was like an elephant had sat on my chest. I couldn't hardly breathe. My heart, my chest was hurting, but not the kind of pain that you would suspect that this is a heart attack. I remember thinking, Lord, is this a heart attack that I'm having? But I didn't get any answers from God. I just wasn't sure what to do. I was already, you know, in my shorts and tank top, ready to relax for the afternoon, and I certainly didn't want to get up and rush to the hospital. According to my surgeon, he said that probably is one of the reasons why I saved my own life, by not getting up and rushing around and causing my heart to even escalate with pressure. Because what was happening as I sat down and, you know, I just got done preaching. There's a little bit of higher heart rate, you know, while I'm moving and talking and preaching. And I got home to sit down and the blood was having a really difficult time getting through my heart. That was the pressure that I felt. And actually, I now have an enlarged heart because of this pressure that was building up in my heart. My heart was expanding in size, and the blood was trying to get through, but like they said, I was 95% blocked at that point. So what did I do? I got up. I took 2 Tylenol, which is something very common for me to do, and I sat back down in my recliner, and I believe I fell asleep. My cardiologist, the surgeon, said that probably saved my life, taking the 2 Tylenol and relaxing. He said if I had, called 911 or tried to drive myself to the hospital, he said more than likely I would have never made it. In his opinion, I should have died that day. My wife should have found me sitting in my recliner, possibly with a smile on my face, but not alive. And I had no idea that I was in that kind of trouble. So I got through that evening, woke up later, we had dinner together, everything seemed normal, my heart, the chest stopped hurting, everything seemed to have calmed down. Come Monday, I noticed I was having a little bit harder time breathing. Every time I got up to walk or something, it seemed like I would be gasping for air, and I knew there was something wrong. So I called my cardiologist back. He had scheduled me for the 17th to do an angiogram to find out exactly what's going on with my heart. We had scheduled it out 3 weeks because we didn't want to do it right away. And I called him, and luckily I caught him at the office, and I said, you know, doctor, is there any chance you can get me in sooner because something is happening? And he said, yeah, he got me in that next Wednesday. Wednesday morning, I found myself at doctor's hospital early in the morning, getting ready to have the angiogram. I truly thought that I was going to be a couple of stents put in my heart, and it would be overnight in the hospital and back in the pulpit on Sunday. I really did not expect to find out that I was sick as I was. They did the angiogram and immediately admitted me into the hospital, put me in a room. I found myself in this room going, what on earth are you guys doing? And finally the cardiologist came in and said I was 95% blocked and there was no way that I would survive even another day if I got up and had any exercise or any movement or anything that would cause my heart rate to go up. He said it will most certainly kill you. So he got the heart surgeon. I had Dr. Liu from Doctors Medical Center. Fabulous man, a wonderful man. And from everything I understood, he declined doing my surgery when Dr. Mirage first asked him. And he said, because of the difficulty of the surgery, because I've already had a previous open heart surgery, the scar tissue, all the scar tissue that he's going to have to cut through to get my chest to open back up is going to be very difficult, and it's going to add, and he told me after surgery, it added about 2 hours to the surgery with difficulty. And so anyway, the heart surgeon agreed because Dr. Maras said I wasn't going to survive it anyway. So if the surgery wasn't done. So Dr. Liu came in and sat down to talk with me the day before. This would have been on Thursday evening, and the surgery was going to be Friday morning. And so he asked me about what had happened, why I was even there, why I was seeing my cardiologist. So I told him what had happened on Sunday. And he was taking notes, he was listening to me, and he said, you know, you should have died that day. Your heart is expanded and it should have blown. It wasn't meant to take the type of pressure that it was under because the blood couldn't get through my heart. And he said, I'm just still amazed that you lived through that day. And he asked me what I had done. I told him I took 2 Tylenol and went to sleep. So he said, well, if your God didn't take you on that day, he said, I think we have a good chance to get through this surgery together. And I said, so it's that serious, doc? He said, oh yeah. He said, we're gonna have to do a 3-way bypass. You're completely plugged up. We have to take a vein out of your leg and insert it into your heart and go bypass all the blockages. And it's gonna be a very serious surgery. And yeah, there is a chance that you might not wanna come through it. But he said he believes that I was strong and I had lived this far. He was willing to go ahead and do it. And I said, thanks, doc. I appreciate it. I had no idea what I was in for. I got out of surgery and I found myself in ICU. Surgery was successful. They did the bypass. Everything went fine. It took a long surgery. It was about 6 or 7 hours long. I got back into ICU and my heart kept going into an AFib mode, which it wasn't wanting to maintain a steady heartbeat. And you really can't feel it as the patient. I couldn't really feel what my heart was doing. If anything, I'd say maybe it felt like I had a nervous heart, but it wasn't pumping blood like it's supposed to pump. It's kind of just fluttering around in the blood and trying to pump it through. And so they kept working on me day after day, trying to correct this AFib mode. I wound up being in the ICU 7 or 8 days because of that. Normally, open heart surgery, you're in there 2 days, maybe 3, and then you get moved on to a room. But no, not me. Every time they got me up to walk, which is every day, I'd go directly into an AFib mode, and they couldn't understand, you know, really what was going to happen, what was happening. So they decided, they came to me and told me that they were going to inject me with fentanyl to put me to sleep, and they were going to shock my heart back into rhythm. And I thought, okay, is that going to hurt? And they said, no, that's why we're putting you out first. You won't feel a thing, other you might be a little bruised afterwards. And I thought, whatever it takes, guys, I want to get better. I want to get out of here. And so as Dr. Liu was across the room, some 20 feet away, a few beds over, and he said, hey, Mr. George. And I said, yeah. He goes, what did you do when you were at home that day having a heart attack? I said, I took 2 Tylenol. He said, okay, let's drop 2 Tylenol. It was the craziest thing I ever heard. I kind of laughed. And they scurried around and got 2 Tylenol and brought them over and gave to me. And within a minute, my heart went back into a rhythm, a normal rhythm, and it went out of the AFib. And everybody was shocked and, you know, applauding and excited. And it was just one of them weird moments. To me, it was a God moment. Later, Dr. Liu come by and I asked him, Dr. Liu, what was that all about? Why did you give me 2 Tylenol? And he said, oh, Mr. George, he said, you and that heart have a great relationship. He's been taking care of you, and you've been taking care of him for a long time. And he said, if you took 2 Tylenol and saved your life the first time, he said, I figured you could take 2 Tylenol and it would save your life again. And it did, and it doesn't make any sense. I told this story to my cardiologist, and he said, it makes absolutely no sense at all. And I just said, but God knows. Dr. Liu said, I'm completely convinced that our hearts have memory, and they remember how we take care of them and the things that we do. And he said, two Tylenol is what certainly helped me the most. So that evening when he came by and was explaining that to me, he said, I read here in your, all the nurses have said that I've been complaining about the morphine that they were giving me and the other sleep aids. And I said, yes, please, doc, I don't want to take any narcotic drugs anymore. They don't make me feel right. They cause me to have bad dreams. I stay awake at night. I am so miserable. If you could just give me two Tylenol a night, that's what I do when I'm at home. That's what I do when I go to bed. I just take two Tylenol. And he said, that's what we'll do. He took me off of all narcotic drugs. He said, if my pain level starts to rise, just let us know. And I said, I will. But the pain level never did rise. I was never really in any pain. And they were so sure that I was full of pain, just not knowing because I was on, you know, the morphine and the other drugs that they had me on. But once they got me off all that, I started feeling better. I started sleeping at night. It wasn't but like another day or two after that, I finally got moved to a regular room. I was there for another 4 or 5 days as they monitored my heart. Still had bouts of going into AFib, but it would go in and then it would quit and come back to a regular rhythm. I have the feeling that my heart's still doing the same thing today because I can feel it. There's times that I can feel that I have an irregular heartbeat. I know you're not supposed to be able to feel it, but I feel something. And I think probably my heart's still trying to gain its natural rhythm, and it will. I know that God is in this, and he has protected me through all of this. I didn't see all this coming. I didn't know that I was going to have to go through an open heart surgery for the second time. I didn't know that I was that sick. I thought I had a lot of years left in me. And obviously I do because God has provided for me to be alive today and to still be pastoring this precious church. But I do have to take it easy. I'm doing my best. I'm not going to take the pulpit back till probably the first or second week in July. I have people that have been coming in preaching for us, and nobody there has the technology. I do this myself on my cell phone for the podcast, and it was too much to ask for everybody else to try to do. So that's why we have not had any podcasts coming out because of this situation. But God has blessed. Isn't it a wonderful thing that I'm here talking to you today? I can't believe that I'm here and that all is well and that things are getting better. It goes on in Ephesians verse 4, he said, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Think of it. God knew me. God knew you before the foundations of the world, that we would be holy and without blame before him. Verse 5, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to praise the glory of God and his grace by which he made us accepted and the beloved. Oh my goodness, people. God loves us so much. We are his children. We are his pride and joy. Thank you, all those out there that have been praying for me. I have felt your prayers. God has answered your prayers. I am still here. I'm still working. I want to be here. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ is coming for his church very soon, and I would like to be in that number. I would like to see him on the day that he returns for the rapture of the church to take us out of this crazy world, and this world is getting crazier. I'm going to be addressing that soon when I get back to church in July. So much going on in the world and so much that we need to know and need to be prepared for. Verse 7, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. God is willing to give us the wisdom that we need. He's willing to give us the words that we need. When we're out in public with family, with someone we love, and we don't know what to say, trust God. Open your mouth. Tell them that Jesus loves them. You know, the only thing standing between heaven and you is possibly, heaven and them is possibly you. Just telling them about the love of God has for them. We have to really focus our lives on sharing the gospel, sharing the love of Jesus Christ with all those around us, our family members. You know, when that Thursday night before surgery, I was in the hospital and I thought, Lord, am I going to die? And the Holy Spirit said, no, you're not going to die. And I said, yeah, but what if I do? He said it's a possibility that I could die on the table. That would have been on May 12th. And I thought to myself, Lord, I got to talk to my brother. So I immediately called my brother. And it wasn't that I missed him or wanted to talk to him. I wanted to tell him about the love of Jesus Christ. I've always had respect for him and never pushed what my religious beliefs or anything on him. We've always kind of just respected each other and in the ways that we go. And I called him. I said, Steve, I got to tell you, heaven is real. And this may be the last time that I'm ever able to talk to you. And I wanted to make sure before I left this world, I told you that Jesus Christ is the lover of my soul. And he loves you. And you need to accept him to secure your place in heaven. Because it's only through him will we see God. It's only through him will we see eternity, heaven. He said, well, thank you. He didn't accept Christ right then. But I believe it's a seed that is planted. And I thought about all the people that I didn't tell, that I should have told, that I should have talked to, but I didn't. I started having many regrets. But then the Lord has extended my life and given me another chance. A chance to tell people of the love of God, of the reality of heaven, that we need to serve him as our Lord and Savior. It's not about going to church. Church is a byproduct of accepting Jesus Christ. Once you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's natural you want to know more. So you'll start listening to preachers on TV where you used to turn the channel. And eventually you might say, I need to find a church and learn more. That's why we go to church. Church doesn't save you. Church equips us and gives us the tools we need to live a life in Christ Jesus. All we have to do is accept him as our Lord and Savior. That's all that's required. It's Jesus and Jesus only. It's not, oh, Jesus, and then I have to be baptized. It's not, oh, Jesus, and then I have to go to church. I have to pay my tithes. I have to do this. No, it's none of that. It's Jesus only. And he'll put the hunger inside of you to want to know more about him. Well, I wanted everybody to know what I've been through and why you haven't heard from me. Praise God, I'm still here. Praise God, I have another chance to continue to pastor this church. And praise God that you're listening to every word that I say. I thank you. God bless you. Please come out and see us in Tuolumne sometime when you get a chance. If not, keep your eyes on our podcasts. They will start coming up in July. God bless you. We love you. And now you know the whole story around my heart attack. God bless.